Well, good morning, ladies. As I've been preparing for this, I've been thinking about this question, so I want you to think about this question with me. And that's this: how important is it to you that you know the truth in any given situation? I want you to think about maybe even the upcoming elections. Will the truth affect how you vote? I don't know about you, but for me, knowing the truth, or hopefully what I think is the truth — sometimes I don't even know if I can know the truth about both the candidates — but hopefully knowing the truth about both candidates, it's going to affect how I vote, right? I was thinking about this in relationship to my kids, because hypothetically, this might happen in my home sometimes, where one kid runs up to me, "Mom, she did such and such to me." And I'll be like, "Okay, well, that wasn't right. I'm going to have to deal with that." And then the other kid comes running up, "But Mom, he did this to me." And then I'm like, "Okay, well, there's a little more to this story. The truth is going to affect how I dole out some discipline, right?" Or I was even thinking about — I was reminded just yesterday, I had a friend who had a real scary incident with her son happen. And I was reminded about my son when he was 2 years old. He climbed up onto the counter in our bathroom. He got into the medicine cabinet. And truthfully, those childproof bottles really aren't that childproof. Both of my kids could get into them. I don't know why. They were just good at that. But he got into the medicine cabinet, started taking off all the caps, drank down the Benadryl, drank down the Tylenol, drank down some allergy medicine. And I mean, it was a very scary situation. But I needed to know the truth about how much medicine he had taken. Because if those were full bottles, that could be life-threatening for him. Luckily, there was only a little bit in each bottle, and he was okay. It wasn't a big deal. But the truth matters, doesn't it? And I was thinking about this in relationship to our relationship with God. Is it important to you that you know the truth about who the Lord is? And I'm here to tell you today that it is crucial to our lives. It is vital, in fact, that we know and are living in the truth of who the Lord is. You see, what you believe about God affects everything that you think and everything that you do. I was reading a book this summer by J.I. Packer. It was called Knowing God. And here's what he had to say about this idea of knowing the Lord in truth. He says, "The study of the nature and character of God is the most practical project anyone can engage in. Knowing about God is crucially important for the living of our lives. Disregard the study of God and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, like you're playing a game and you don't know the rules." So I'll say it again, because this is really important. How you react to life is based on what you believe to be true about God. And so today what we're going to talk about is how we can know the Lord in truth. And we're going to do that by looking at this next part in Jesus' prayer, John 17, verses 6 through 9. Because what Jesus was emphasizing in this prayer was the fact that the disciples knew him in truth. And we're going to be answering three questions today. We're going to talk about what does it mean to know the Lord in truth, so that we can actually know what that is. We're going to talk about how we come to know the Lord in truth, because as Jesus was praying this prayer back to the Father, he actually went through the process that the disciples went through to know him in truth. And then finally, we're going to talk about the benefits of knowing the Lord in truth so that we can practically apply this to our lives. So let's get started today, and we're going to read the verses together first. So let's do that, and then that'll bring us to our first point, okay? Here's John 17, verses 6 through 9. This is Jesus talking to the Father. "I have manifested your name to the people you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." So this really leads us to our first question. What does it mean to know the Lord in truth? And this is our first point, the need. Know the Lord in truth. This is the vital need of each and every one of us. But let's start now by defining what we mean by know in truth. What was Jesus saying when he said the disciples knew him in truth? Well, to know the Lord, we know from this passage, means that we understand his character and nature. Jesus said in verse 6 here that he came to manifest the name of the Father, which meant he came to reveal God's character and nature. And when Jesus was talking about the disciples here, he was saying they understood God's character and nature. But this wasn't just like I can rattle off facts about God. There's more to it. Because to know the Lord, adding in this truth part, means that I understand his character and nature as I experience him at work in my life. So it's this two parts, this twofold thing that's going on. I understand who God is, and I'm experiencing him at work in my life. Let me just give you an example of what this might look like. About 11 years ago, I was pregnant with my daughter. And while I was pregnant with her, I had a rough pregnancy. I was on bed rest for about 5 months. For about the last month and a half of that time, I was in the hospital on bed rest. And when she was born, she was in the hospital in the NICU for 2 months. And then when she came home, she was on home health care for another 5 months. So it was a 13-month period of time that was really, really difficult. Now, I could have told you as I entered into that time and I was walking through that time that the Lord is peace. I could have said, hey, the Lord, you'll have peace when you know the Lord. You should be experiencing peace with the Lord. But you know what? As I was walking through that, what I was experiencing was not peace, but fear. I tell you, I remember laying on my left side. I hate laying on my left side now because I've laid on my left side for a long time. But as I was laying on my left side, this fear would just rise up within me. What if I did something that caused her to be born too early and she died? What if I did something, even when she was in the NICU, that, you know, I made a wrong decision and she died? We didn't know if she was going to live or die. It was a very scary situation. And so this fear would rise up in me. Now, I knew God was peace, but I was not experiencing his peace. So what I began to do, knowing that this was not how I should be living my life, this was not the experience that I wanted or needed to have with the Lord, what I began to do is I began to grab hold of some scripture. And every time that fear would well up within me, I began to say, and it was Isaiah 41:10, that was my verse. And it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so every time that fear would well up, I would begin to say that verse. I probably said that verse like thousands of times. That's probably a low estimate right there. Because that fear was just welling up and welling up and welling up. And as I would say that verse, I would picture the Lord right beside me. And I would picture him holding me and my daughter in the palms of his hands. And as I began to apply the word, guess what? I began to experience the truth of who God is in the midst of my circumstances. That's what it means to know the Lord in truth, to understand his character and nature as we experience him at work in our lives. And this is not something that we've reached this pinnacle and all of a sudden we know the Lord in truth and we never have a problem again. This is something that we're growing in all of our lives because, let's face it, every day there's new challenges, right? Every day there's new circumstances. So every day is a new opportunity to know the Lord in a fresh and deeper way. We should always be growing and knowing the Lord in truth. Until we get to heaven, every day is a new opportunity to know him in truth in a deeper way. So let me ask you this. Are you knowing him in truth? Are you growing in the knowledge and understanding of his nature and character as you're experiencing him at work in your life? And sometimes I think for us, especially if you've walked with the Lord for a long time, we can deceive ourselves in this. We can know a lot of things about God with not actually experiencing the truth of who he is in our lives. And I mentioned to you that I had been reading this book by J.I. Packer, Knowing God. And if you haven't read it, I would highly recommend it. It's a really awesome book. But he actually walks through in his book 4 ways we can know that we truly know God and not just about him. And I want to share those with you today because they were actually very convicting to me. And so, you know, to know that we truly know God, it's not just that we read our Bible and pray and go to church and serve the Lord. All those things are great things. All those things are necessary things in coming to know God. But there should be more in our lives than that in order to demonstrate that we know God. So let me go through these with you right now. The 4 signs that we truly know God and not just about him. And it's really interesting because J.I. Packer is using the example of Daniel. And we're studying Daniel right now, aren't we? And on Sunday mornings. But he uses the example of Daniel because Daniel was a man who knew the Lord. He understood his character and nature in truth as he experienced him in his life. So number one, those who know God truly have great energy for God. They have great energy for God. Now, this energy is not just about doing lots of things. This energy is specifically seen in their prayer life. You think about Daniel. Daniel was a man of prayer, wasn't he? In fact, the only way that those three presidents of the land could trap Daniel was to trick the king into making a law that said that nobody could pray except to the king. Well, Daniel wasn't going to do that, was he? Because he was a man of prayer. And specifically, the energy in prayer that you're going to see when you truly know God is energy directed at praying for God's cause. So not only is it that you're going to have great energy in prayer, but it's going to be great energy in prayer praying for God's cause. I was even reading in Daniel chapter 2 just the other day. And in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel is praying and praying for God's cause to come. And he was praying and talking to God about how big and great he was. It's an amazing chapter. You see, if you and I know the Lord in truth, we're going to have great energy for God as manifested in our prayer life, as we pray for God's cause. Now, number two, if you and I truly know God, we're going to have great thoughts about God. We're going to understand the greatness of our God. And again, as I just mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel was thanking the Lord, actually, for giving him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Because remember, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he was said, hey, all you magicians and all you wise men, you have to tell me my dream, and then you have to tell me what it means, and if you can't, I'm going to kill everybody. And so Daniel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord gave him the dream, and he gave him the interpretation. And when Daniel's talking back to the Lord at that moment, he's talking about how great and mighty God is. You see, Daniel had a great big view of God. Do you have a great big view of God? It truly is an indication that you know him in truth. Number three now. So those who truly know God have great energy for God. They have great thoughts about God. They show great boldness for God. Think about Daniel and even his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, they were able to take a bold stand for the Lord, weren't they? Daniel, in the face of being thrown into the lion's den, he stood for the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the face of being thrown into a fiery furnace, they stood boldly for the Lord, didn't they? And when you and I truly know God, we're going to live boldly for him. And finally, number four, those who truly know God have great contentment in God. They have great contentment in God. And you think about Daniel and his friends, no matter where they were satisfied in the Lord. And so you see, when you and I truly know God, these are things that are going to be evident in our lives. We're going to have great energy for God. We're going to think great thoughts about God. We are going to be bold for God. And we're going to have a great contentment and satisfaction in God. So let me ask you again. Do you know him in truth? Are you understanding his character and nature as you experience him at work in your life? He desires you to know him in this way. Do you know him? Now, I said we're going to answer three questions today, so we've answered the first one. What does it mean to know the Lord in truth? Our second question is this then, this is so important, how do we come to know the Lord in truth? And that leads us to our next point, the means, the way we come to know the Lord in truth. See the Father as revealed by the Son, and respond in faith. See the Father as revealed by the Son and respond in faith. And it's really interesting, in these three short verses of Scripture, we can gather really three things about what we need to do in order to know the Lord in truth. The first one is this. We've got to recognize the Father as our everything as we submit to him. I think this is interesting. This is the way that Jesus saw the Father as he went to the cross. I want to read the passage with you one more time. And as I read it this time, I just want to emphasize every time Jesus mentions that God has given him something. Okay? So let's count this out together. Let's read this passage again. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Did you catch it? Five times in those three short verses, Jesus is talking about the Father as his great giver. The Father was his everything. He says, everything I have comes from the Father. All of my purposes are from the Father. Everything I do, everything I think, everything I say, all of it is from the Father. And you see, if you and I are going to come to know the Lord in truth, it's got to start there. We have to recognize that everything we have is from the Father. Now, one other thing that this led to for Jesus, as he recognized that everything he had came from the Father, he then was able to submit his own will and desires to the Father. You see, he knew the Lord in truth so deeply and so truly that his desires and the Father's desires were one. Now, that didn't mean that God, changed his desires to match Jesus's. Jesus says, my desires, Lord, are yours. His desires were in line with the Father's. And so if you and I want to come to know the Lord in truth, it starts there. Lord, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is from you. It's for you. It's through you. I acknowledge that, and I'm submitting my life to you. If you want to know him in truth, it's got to start there. And then the second thing we see in this passage, not only do we have to recognize the Father as our great giver as we submit to him, the second thing we see is this. We have to see the Father through the Son. We have to see the Father through the Son. Now listen, Jesus says in verse 6 that he came to manifest the name of the Father, which means he came to reveal the Father. He came to shed the light on who the Father really was. We, to know the Father, we have this problem, don't we? We can't see him. And we're these physical beings who really and truly love to see. And God knows that. And because he's such a gracious God, he sent us the true and exact representation of himself in Jesus Christ. So if you and I want to get to know the Father, we have to do it through the Son. Specifically, we do it as we look at the Son's work on the cross. You understand that the fullness of who God is represented by Jesus' work on the cross? If you want to know how much God loves you, all you have to do is look at the cross and Christ's work on the cross. God sent his one and only Son to die for you on that cross. If you want to know how holy God is, you look at Christ's work on the cross. You see, God cannot be a part of sin. There must be a price paid for it. And so he sent Jesus to pay the price for you and for me on that cross. If you want to know the full extent of God's mercy and compassion for you, you look at Jesus' work on the cross. So you see, God sent him to take your place and to take my place so that we could live with him forever. The only way to truly know the Father is to see him through the Son. Are you seeing him? That's got to be a part of where you're at if you want to know him in truth. So first we've got to recognize the Father as our great giver as we submit ourselves to him. We have to see the Father through the Son. And then finally, we have to respond in faith. And if we look at verse 8 now, we're going to see the disciples' response to all that's been happening through the Father and the Son. Let's read verse 8 together. It says this, "For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." And so this was the disciples' response. There was really three things here, right? First of all, the disciples received the word. Now, this wasn't something where, like, they just happened to be around Jesus and kind of by this osmosis as he just kept talking, it just started sinking in and all of a sudden they just had it. This word received is this real active word. That means that you grab hold and you don't let go. See, there was a lot of people that heard Jesus speak, right? Not all of them received the word. But those 12 disciples, they had grabbed hold of the word and they didn't let go. And so you and I, if we want to come to know the Lord in truth, we've got to start by receiving the word. We grab hold. We don't let go of that word. We're going to hold on to the truth of what it says and who the Lord is. And then Jesus says they received the word and then they knew truly. We've talked about what that is, right? As they received the word, they understood God's character and nature as they experienced him at work in their lives. And then finally, Jesus said that led to belief. They put their faith and trust in who Christ is. So let me ask you this today. What's keeping you from knowing the Lord in truth? Maybe for you, you have not been recognizing the Father as your everything as you submit yourself to him. Today's the day. Submit your will and desires to the Father. See him as he really is, as your everything. Maybe for you, you haven't been seeing the Father through the Son. Let me tell you, it is life-changing to begin to focus on Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. That is the gospel, isn't it? And the gospel changes us. And so maybe today, for you, you're at a place where you need to begin to focus on Jesus' work on the cross for you. It is the full revelation of God's love for you. It is the full revelation of his holiness. It is the full revelation of his mercy and grace and truth. See the Father through the Son. Maybe for you, you have not been receiving the word. And maybe it's just because you haven't been spending time in the word. Well, right there, obviously, receive the word. But maybe it's more than that. Because you can be reading the word, you can be sitting in places like this, and yet not receiving it. What's holding you back from grabbing hold of the truth of the word and not letting go? Because that's going to be necessary if you want to know the Lord in truth. Grab hold, don't let go. Maybe for you, you've been believing some lies about who the Lord is, whatever that might be. Maybe in your circumstances, you've been looking and saying, God, this isn't good. You're not good. I don't see how you could be good. God, you're not loving in this. Lord, I don't feel a sense of your presence with me in this. See, those are all lies. Are you knowing who the Father is? And then are you experiencing him? And sometimes we know who the Lord is, but we're not experiencing him because we're not grabbing hold of the word. And then knowing and experiencing. And then finally, maybe you're just not believing. You're at that place where your doubts and your questions are overshadowing your faith. What is it that's keeping you from knowing the Lord in truth today? Today's the day. Let's be done with that. Let's stand on the truth of who he is. Let's understand his character and nature as we experience him at work in our lives. Now, finally, you said we had three questions, right? So we've answered the first question. What does it mean to know the Lord in truth? To understand his character and nature as we experience him at work in our lives. We've looked at what it means, how we come to know the Lord in truth, as Jesus has talked about in this passage. Specifically, how we see the Father as our great giver, how we see the Father through the Son and his work on the cross, as we receive the word and know in truth and then put our faith in him. That's how we come to know in truth. So our last question, what are the benefits of knowing the Lord in truth? Why would I want to come to know the Lord in truth? What good is it going to do me? And today I just want to talk about four benefits of knowing the Lord in truth. Now there's a lot more, but we're just going to talk about four things that you will be experiencing in your life as you're coming to know the Lord in truth. That day by day, moment by moment growth in knowing who God is and experiencing him in your life. So four benefits. The first one is this, freedom. John 8:31, Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, if you and I are knowing the Lord in truth, we're going to be experiencing an ever-increasing freedom. Freedom from the penalty and power of sin. Freedom from self. Freedom from doubt. Freedom from fear. Whatever it is that's bound you in the past, when you know the Lord in truth, you're going to be experiencing an ever-increasing freedom in your life. A second benefit of knowing the Lord in truth is abundant life. abundant life. In John 10:10, Stacy talked about this last week. Jesus said, I have come to bring life and life to the full. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't come to bring this little trickle that sometimes quenches your thirst every once in a while, the thirst of your soul. He came to bring streams of living water that will well up within you. And when you and I are knowing the Lord in truth, we're going to be experiencing that abundant life, life now and forevermore. A third benefit of knowing the Lord in truth is security. Security. 1 John 3:1 says, see what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. You see, when you begin to understand who God is, then you can also begin to understand who you are as his child. And there's great security and peace in that. Man, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks anymore about who you are. You know what God has said about who you are as his child, as an heir of God and co-heir with Christ. There's a great and increasing sense of security. And finally, a fourth benefit of knowing the Lord in truth is this. You will be having a new way of thinking and a new way of living. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about how we are to be renewed in the attitudes of our minds. And you see, when we come to know the Lord in truth, that's what's really happening. Our minds are being renewed. And as our minds are renewed, as our thinking is changed, so then our actions are changed as well. And so if we are knowing the Lord in truth, understanding his character and nature as we experience him at work in our life, then these are the things that we should be experiencing. Let me ask you this. Are you experiencing these things? Are you growing in ever-increasing freedom? Are you growing and experiencing this abundant life, joy, peace, hope? Because you should be. Are you experiencing the freedom and security that comes from knowing that you're a child of God? Are you experiencing growth in this new way of thinking and new way of living? And right now I want to get really, really practical with you because, again, I think that it can be, we can be deceived real easily here in thinking that we, again, know the Lord when we're really not walking in the truth of who he is. And as we've said before, what we believe about God affects everything we do and say and think. And so what we can do then is we can go backwards. We can look at what we're doing and saying and thinking to see what we're really believing about God. And on your handout, I've given you this chart. And a friend showed me this chart this summer. And this chart's been really helpful for me because I think it really helps you to begin to look and say, okay, what do I really believe about God? I'm going to look at my actions, and I'm going to go back then and evaluate what this says about what I truly believe about the Lord. And I'm going to give you my own example here because even recently, the Lord's been working in my heart and showing me some ways that I'm not knowing him in truth. So I'm going to use my own example to kind of walk through this with you with the hopes that, and my prayer is that you can look at this and begin to think about your own life. Where are you not knowing the Lord in truth? So if you use this chart, here's how we would do this. We would start with the event. Maybe it could be a big thing, it could be a small thing. But we'd start with the event. And then what we would do is, and in fact, I should have numbered this a little differently. We're going to skip over the evaluation right now because we always evaluate at the end, right? That's when we evaluate. So we're going to skip over that evaluation and come back to it. But as we look at the event, we're going to look at then the emotions we had, our reaction, and then the result. And then as we look at those things, we can go back and think about what this really says we believe about God, whether it's a truth or whether it's a lie. So let me just give you an example from my own life. Like I said, the Lord's been working in my own heart even as I've been preparing for this. So here's my event. Last year, I went back to work. Before my kids were born, I was a teacher. And so last year, both my kids were in school full-time, and I thought, okay, you know, I need something to fill my time a little bit. So I just went back to work part-time. It was really not that big of a deal. And just a teacher's aide. I wasn't even a teacher. Like, I was doing not much at all. I would go to work, come home. It was not really that much. But it was still 2 days a week, and I didn't take anything else out of my schedule. So that's my event, okay? So, as I said, I'm going to skip the evaluation and come back to that. The emotions that began to come with this, all this like added work and stuff, was I began to feel overwhelmed and a bit stressed. And at first it was fine, but as time went on, there was more stress, more being overwhelmed, more emotions like that. And I honestly, sometimes I do really good at hiding those types of things, and I deceive myself even really well. But the one way I know I'm stressed is I get this twitch in my eye, and I had that. So I was like, okay, I can't fool myself. I really am stressed because my eye keeps twitching. So that's how I knew. But that was emotions that were going on inside of me. My reaction to that emotion was, unfortunately, I became harsher with my family. Because, you see, I had things to do, and I had places to get, and my kids were not moving fast enough. Have you ever experienced that? Like, your kids don't move fast enough, and I needed to do ABC so that XYZ could get done. So my kids weren't moving fast enough, and so I was beginning to be harsh with them. Like, come on, get out the door. What are you doing? What are you thinking? That was how it was going. And even, and I hate to even say this, even when I was driving, I would, like, speed too much. I shouldn't even admit that. I was speeding because I was like, I got to get this done, and I got to get this done. It was all about getting the next thing done. And I would even get really irritated with drivers when they would go really slow. That's really bad. But those were the reactions that were going on, right? And so finally, the result was there was a real unsettledness in my spirit. And what happened was this year, and so this is like me not even realizing anything yet, because I was like, oh, it's just life, whatever, okay, I should be not as harsh, sounds good, you know. And this year then, I decided I was not going to go back to work. I was going to change. I was like, okay, that was too much, I think, because I'm being too harsh. But the thing was, the emotions, the reactions, and the results were still the same. I was still stressed, even though my circumstances had changed. I was still reacting harshly, and there was still an unsettledness in my spirit. And so even as I was preparing for this and I was looking through this chart, I began to look and say, okay, Lord, what is this saying about what I really believe about you? And as I was praying through this, I really felt like the Lord showed me that I was believing that I had to measure up. I don't know why I'm tearing up because I've never done that even as I've gone over this. Okay. All right. I'm good. I was believing that I had to measure up. That there was something I had to do to add to what Jesus had already done for me on the cross. Now, I would have never told you in a million years that I believed that. I would have said, God loves me. He's done everything for me. There's nothing more that I can do to get his approval. But that's not how I was living. You see, my actions demonstrated what I really believed. And I had been deceiving myself. And even as the Lord's been showing me that this is how I was really acting and this is what I was really believing, I've been able to look at him now and go back to him and say, Lord, please help me. You are my everything. I'm going to submit myself to you now. And Lord, let me see you through Christ's work on the cross. You love me with an everlasting love, and you demonstrated to me that you love me by sending your one and only Son to die for me. There is nothing more that I can do to earn your love or earn your favor. And then what I've been doing is I've been receiving the word. There is this little phrase. When I was in high school, I went through this study, and I struggled with this in high school. I thought I was over it. Apparently, I was wrong, right? But there's this little phrase that I learned, and it said, I have great worth apart from my performance because Christ died for me and therefore imparted great value to me. I am deeply loved, fully pleasing, totally forgiven, accepted, and complete in Christ. And so I've been receiving that word, and each of those little phrases has a little verse that goes with it. And I've been going over the word and speaking the truth of the word into my life. And as I've been doing that, and let me tell you, I just started doing this, so it's definitely not perfect yet. But I can tell my emotions are different because I'm coming from a different place now. I'm not reacting from a place of needing to earn God's favor. I'm reacting from a place now of I already have it. His love is there. I want to know and understand it. I want to know him in truth. And then as the emotions have been changing, guess what? My reactions have been changing. I've been better about not being so harsh with my kids. And I'm praying that the Lord would continue to mold and shape my behavior even as he's changing my thinking. So let me ask you this today. What do your actions demonstrate about what you believe to be true about the Lord? You see, let's not be deceived today. No matter where we are, no matter how long or short we've walked with the Lord, all of us have ways that we are not walking in the truth of who the Lord is, don't we? What do your actions demonstrate about what you believe to be true about the Lord? And it's been my prayer as I've been preparing this that the Lord would speak to every one of our hearts today, that he would minister his truth to our hearts, that he would show us where we're not living in the truth of who he is. And we've seen today that to live in the truth of who he is means that we understand his character and nature as we experience him at work in our lives. We've seen that in order to do that, we have to see the Father as the great giver through the Son as we put our faith in him by receiving, knowing in truth, and believing. And we've seen this is a very practical thing, isn't it? We can look at our actions and look to see what the result of our life is if we're experiencing this abundant life, if we're experiencing this freedom, if we're experiencing this security that the Lord promises us. And we can look at our actions and our experience to see what we really believe about God. Do you know him in truth? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you desire to know us in such a way that we could know you in this truth. Lord, would you minister to each heart now? Would you be showing us, Lord, even today, even through our discussion time, even over the next weeks, Lord, any way that we are not living in the truth of who you are. Lord, I pray for each woman here that they would be experiencing, Lord, your truth, that they would be experiencing what it means to walk in freedom, that they would be experiencing what it means to walk in ever-increasing abundant life, that they would be experiencing what it means to know who they are as your child, that they would be experiencing, Lord, a new way of thinking and a new way of living that comes from knowing you in truth. Lord, as we go to our discussion times today, to continue to minister, continue to mold, and continue to shape us, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.